It's time to separate fact from fiction and health fads. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Well, all right. So we're talking right now about, guess what? Gluten. Gluten again. And I want to talk about that little sort of snarky remark I just made. Is gluten-free and gluten sensitivities, gluten allergies kind of on the rise, or is it just a fad? I want to get started with that because I think it's really important. And then we're going to talk about, hey, is your food that says it's gluten-free really gluten-free? All right. So here's the thing. A lot of people think that this is just a fad. I have patients come in and I'm going to encourage them in part of their treatment plan to perhaps pull out wheat gluten for quite a bit. And they kind of roll their eyes, some of them, I should say. And they're like, oh man, this is just a fad. And I was like, you know what? And then they were like, is it the genetically modified? And I'm going to answer that question. Is it the genetically modified wheat that is causing the increase in us having an intolerance to gluten? I'm going to say no, you know, because from everything that I've seen in the studies that I've read, genetically modified wheat is really not to blame for the hikes in celiac and gluten sensitivity. It's just not, for a simple reason that genetically modified wheat isn't being grown commercially yet. But it doesn't mean that wheat hasn't changed over the last half decade, or half dozen decades, I should say. It has. And what we're eating now is a result of a process called hybridization. Okay, so we're eating this dwarf wheat here, especially in the United States. So some scientists, not all of them, say that those changes could definitely be causing an increase in our inability to tolerate gluten. And here's why. So in hybridization, scientists don't tinker directly with the plant's genome. That's the gene. Instead, they choose particular strains of the plant with desirable characteristics and breed them to reinforce those characteristics. Okay, so when this is done repetitively, successive generations of a particular plant can look very different from the plant's ancestors. And that's what's really happened to modern wheat. It's shorter, it's browner, and far higher yielding. That's the biggest thing. Can we yield higher? Can we get wheat crops that are yielding higher? Okay, so much so than 100 years ago. So this is the dwarf wheat. Dwarf wheat and semi-dwarf wheat crops have replaced their taller cousins. You know, if you think about a nice, beautiful sort of, I guess maize might be the color, maybe not maize, more of a tan, all right? So wheat field. And these wheat strains require less time. They're less fertilizer to produce a robust crop of wheat berries. So if you think about those old, oh my gosh, wheat fields with the fresh wheat berries, that's just not what we're eating. And I think that's the reason. But more than 3 million Americans are said to have celiac disease. So they're, most of them, you know, are undiagnosed, and they're starting to see in their bodies, though, symptoms and signs. And they're kind of having a question mark about, hey, what's going on? Especially if they go to a doctor and we can't really figure it out with the reductionistic model of conventional medicine. But every time that I encourage somebody to pull wheat, especially modern day wheat, out of their diet, some of these symptoms sort of abate, okay? But here's the thing. So people get on a gluten-free, wheat-free diet, and they're feeling better. So what happens when they go to a restaurant? That's the biggest thing. So with no laws or rules governing product labels or restaurant menus, the risk of gluten contamination has been higher than it should be. But I guess change is on the way. And so that is awesome news. Okay, this is the change. Basically, on August 5th of 2013, the FDA published a set of standards for food manufacturers that want to use the term gluten-free on their packaging labels. So manufacturers will have to come, they're going to have to be in compliance with these new standards. They got a year to do that, okay? So what are these new standards? And what does it mean for your packaged products and restaurant foods? Okay, first off, here's what's important to know for you, the listener. What the new rules apply, all right? So the new rules apply to the terms without gluten, free of gluten, gluten-free, made with no gluten-containing ingredients, and not made with gluten-containing ingredients as well, okay? So all of those terms can be used only if the product does not knowingly contain wheat, barley, rye, or any crossbreeds, okay? So if the ingredients are derived from these grains and have not undergone processing to remove the gluten, or if they contain more than 20 basically parts per million of gluten, they are also not allowed to have the gluten-free labeling. So that's important. We're going to have more information for the consumer in at least a year. So you'll be able to really rely more on these labels, because I've had patients that have done so well, and then they go into a restaurant, they claim it's gluten-free, and guess what? There's been some cross-contamination, and that just isn't the case. So these standards are coming up. So that's awesome. All right. So this also means that if a product is unintentionally, okay, or made with gluten, but still called gluten-free, the product in question can no longer claim the title. So manufacturers can, however, still apply advisory labels to their products. The ruling states that the product in question is to be gluten-free, but not necessarily the facility it is made in. So I think that's really important too. So restaurants are also encouraged to adhere to the new labeling requirements. Besides these packaged foods, restaurants also are encouraged, and they're going to be having to have these labels on their menus, because I think it's great. There's been so many sort of new menus and then signals on the menus, like sort of a map of some sort, where it signifies that, hey, this is a gluten-free perhaps item on their menu, but is it? And I got to tell you, my patients have had quite a few problems, and I think in a year we're going to clear this up. All right. So any use of the FDA defined food labeling claims on menus should be consistent with the new labeling laws in at least a year. So unfortunately, restaurants cannot be regulated by the FDA, but the suggestion will help implement these new rules across the country. So I think that we're going to be able to eat out and also buy our quote-unquote gluten-free food much more safely and much more confidently than we used to. Because these changes, and I think it's great because it's gotten the attention. I think it's a huge victory for people with celiac disease and people that have severe gluten intolerances. I do myself, and it kind of has crept up on me. I certainly don't have celiac disease, but I think because I was a vegan vegetarian once, and I was kind of doing it wrong, and I was eating a lot of wheat products and grain products because, you know, there it's everywhere. If you think about pizza crust and pita bread and, you know, everything, if you're not completely aware of eating plant strong nutrient dense when you're a vegan vegetarian for a long, long time. When I was way younger, I was eating this way, but I was eating a lot of gluten, and boy, oh boy, when I pulled it out of my diet, it was amazing the changes that happened for me. And every time I do come in contact with gluten these days, my body sort of tells me in one way or another. I'm very atopic, so I'll get a sort of a rash or an itching rash on my body. It's unbelievable how sensitive I am, and I eat a pretty good diet all the way, you know, in other ways. And so I don't have a lot of provocative foods that I know of. And so this dwarf wheat, the fact that it's increased the yield, it has also increased sort of the gluten content. So that if you think of gluten, think of the word glue, right? And that's exactly what it does to our sort of blood cells. It agglutinates, and it causes chronic inflammation and all sorts of systemic symptoms. And so we've got some new changes coming down from the FDA as best as they can as far as packaged and restaurant menu foods. Now, one of the things I also want to talk about for folks that are listening and who are concerned about gluten elsewhere, think about these things, okay? These are gluten-filled products that we might not think about. Makeup, Play-Doh, some medicines, their fillers, some vitamin supplements, believe it or not, pickles, bouillon cubes, hot dogs. Yep, gluten, they can't be called gluten-free, I can tell you. Couscous, a lot of people think couscous, maybe they get it confused with quinoa, but couscous. Stamps and envelopes, conditioners, shampoos, stickers. There are things everywhere that you need to think about, all right? So is your food really gluten-free? Well, in the next year or so, we're going to be more confident in choosing gluten-free packaged foods and gluten-free menu items because we've got new standards coming down. This is Mindful Medicine here on Radio MD, helping you stay well.